Accession number 13360, Major D. Tomlinson, Reel 6.
Major D. Tomlinson, Reel 6. What was your role in the battalion in the Gazala box, Major?
I was the intelligence officer responsible for organizing the night patrols and giving them full orders as to where to go, and then receive them coming back, and collated their reports. And during the day, I would take my own patrol out on wheels, on trucks, and see how far we could go without drawing enemy fire, which we used to do daily.
How far away was the enemy?
Oh, well, a long way away, really. Difficult to say, but it's, again, it's in the desert, remember, you couldn't hit, you couldn't kill anybody with a rifle. You could never get close enough. Then it went in darkness, and then you use bayonets. I'm talking about rifles.
These patrols that you yourself were taking out.
Yeah. We were trying to make the enemy divulge his whereabouts to us. If he was out, he was out on patrol like we were. Investigating, trying to find out.
Did you succeed?
Oh, well, we did. Yes, we did. We ran into mostly Italian patrols. But we never got near enough to do anything. We're only near enough to make them see it, allow them to see us, and for us to see them. And then, of course, went down on the map that this area, or X marks the spot where enemy have been patrolling.
What other ways were you getting information back to yourself as an intelligence officer?
No, only through your own patrols.
If other people had gone out, did they bring information back for you? Not necessarily tied to your own patrols, but others.
I can't recall anybody other than our own patrols.
When you'd got information together, did you then have to report that to your commanding officer?
Yes, oh yes. It all came back to the colonel, yes it did. I was responsible too, and that was Sammy Batscombe, yes. Well then, and of course there was the brigade IO who was always in contacting with me, trying to obtain information from me to pass on to brigade, you know?
So you were basically involved in getting a battalion picture of your front and then a brigade picture.
Well, the IO passed that's true, yes.
And you drew these maps and collated the information?
Yes, my fellows drew maps and things, yes, they did. That was part of their job. See, intelligent section was made up of, funnily enough, and this is, must have been a relic of the First World War or before, there was a couple of snipers were attached to the intelligence section, and they were intended, of course, to be expert shots. And but that was, they weren't supposed to be intelligent, they were just supposed to be able to use their weapons, the rifle, in an expert fashion. But of course in the desert you didn't have much opportunity of doing that. any opportunity.
Was their role to defend the section if you were out, or did they go out on, did they go out on other jobs on their own, sniping?
No, because you had to, it's a wide area and you didn't want people getting lost, so you had to be organized to get out, see what you were intended to see, and get back safely. Because if you didn't, you could well get lost. It was an easy thing. But you had a couple of the I section statically with you at home, at base in the desert, and marking the maps that your patrols or patrol commanders brought back. And generally keeping information and relayed what you got from brigade, you know.
Can we look at the an intelligence section was made up? You've mentioned two snipers.
Yeah.
Yourself, obviously. Who else was in the section?
There were two sergeants.
Did they have specific roles?
No, they didn't. No. No, not really. To maintain, of course, the maps. And keeping abreast with the positions of your own troops and the enemy. And any little bits of information were essential that they went down on paper.
And this was the job of the two sergeants, to keep the maps?
One of them was more confined to that work, while the other one was a more of a roving one, sergeant, who went out with me.
Do you remember his name at any, or the names of any of these sergeants you had?
No, not terribly. No, I don't. Wouldn't like to guess.
What about the rest of the section then? You've got two sergeants
and two snipers. Draftsman was in. No, I'd be guessing it wouldn't be right. I didn't know. I shouldn't.
Were men of the intelligence section specially chosen for their capabilities, or just selected on the system of you, and you?
50-50, I think. You always try to have the most intelligent people at the job that they were going to do. Like we had draftsmen, you see. Two draftsmen. There was a the sergeant who was collated the information that could be got from our own troops. And organize, of course, the patrols.
So, if you wanted some specific information, or the commander did,
yeah,
your job then was to organize a patrol to go and see if they could get it.
Basically, yes, that's right. Either a patrol from an officer with a guard of own troops, or of course it need only be in part of the intelligence section. Depends who go and find their own.
Amongst this information that you sought, and you've mentioned some of it, were there times when you required, or the battalion commander required, a prisoner taken? If you could find
yes,
one.
Well, yes, if you could find them, that was first on the list, yes, it was. If you could get hold of a prisoner, yes, we can't remember. We did find an Italian chap. I think he'd been out on his own patrol and got lost, and we, and of course everybody wanted to interrogate him, because we didn't get much chance. The brigade IO wanted him, and then the divisional IO wanted him. Everybody wanted to encourage him and quiz him, you know.
So you didn't personally get much chance to talk to him?
No, didn't. Taken out of our hands. But it was a bit of a rarity.
Would it have been your role to do so, had you got the opportunity?
Well, if we were in close, bearing in mind all the time that we weren't in close contact with people, the enemy. So, but of course, when you're in France and built up areas like that, because a different matter. You went round trying to make sure that you got close contact with the enemy and brought him in. But you didn't have that facility in the desert. That's why we had to really change all our outlook when we went from back into France.
What happened, Major, as the enemy moved closer to the box in the late May of 42, prior to the attacks that eventually led to your breaking out?
Well, you didn't see them, you see. Everybody was on wheels, and the tanks. It was tanks that broke into your 150 brigade. And of course, after tanks had done the damage, he was followed up by infantry. And although we were conscious of what was going on because of the gunfire and everything that was going on around us, don't forget that there was some miles between each position, although minefields called it a line, but it wasn't a continuous line of troops. One were here, and then there was 2 or 3 miles of mines, and then 151 had their positions. That is. So you didn't really see people, you just heard all the schmozzle that was going on your doorstep, like.
Were greater demands being made of you at this stage with the enemy so close?
Yes, we had Sammy Battiscombe was out on patrol with some fellows, some men. I can't think who it was, but he had an officer and a number of troops with him, because that was what Sammy liked to do, was go and not sit down and do nothing, but get in around the enemy. And yes, he found them. And he had a meeting with some of the enemy. It was some miles out from up me. But that is when I think we knew that there was invasion of the position imminent. And then at night it blew up to reality. But I wasn't involved in that itself.
Did you realize the seriousness of your situation?
Oh, yes, yes, we did. It was always possible that it could take place any time. Either we would break out and go and have a go at the Germans or the Italians, or they would do the same on us. It was always potential. Oh, yes. But they built up their strength with the help, of course, with a German influx of strength. And we became quite aware of that, and of course it transpired that we were right.
Was there...
We hadn't been reinforced to any extent at that time.
Was there increased air activity against you?
Now, the air was incredibly quiet. Was only odd recce planes that were about, both ours and the enemy. There wasn't a lot of air activity at that time anywhere. It wasn't until later, of course, that the Air Force took a big role in affairs.
Did you know what was happening to your rear with the great tank battle that was going on at Knightsbridge? Was any of that news coming through to you?
Where are we now?
Gazala.
Gazala.
Rommel came through and behind you.
Yes. No. Well, I was in. No, I was a way out. I didn't know. No, I didn't. Only hearsay what I got from people who were wounded and gone and were in the same hospital as I was.
The night that you broke out, the night of the breakout. What was your role in that escapade? When you broke through the enemy lines going west?
Well, I was the intelligence officer.
And what role was it? What were you doing?
Just leading the troops out through the back door. That was all. Running into an enemy minefield which had to be cleared. And it was in the process of clearing the mines that I ran into one. Actually, I ran into the first one. We didn't know there was a minefield there until I had gone on one. And that's when we had to get it cleared, because we had a section of people who were specially designed to clear mines. Royal Engineers.
What happened to you when you ran under that mine?
I was blinded. That was the first reaction. I was blind, and I was concussed. I suppose I didn't know anything, really, basically, until I woke up the next day on the ambulance. Which our MO arranged to get me on. Well, he was nearly blown up as well.
Did you have anyone killed on the truck?
No. Well, only my driver, who eventually died. But no, we didn't. Because we set the mine off, or the mines off. Once we set the mine off, because the engineers were in and were able to clear the field. It wasn't one mine, it was a field of mines.
You were at the head of the column.
Yes.
Leading by compass?
Yes. Yes, I was.
Did you have lights? How were the trucks behind able to follow you? It was dark night, of course.
Well, it was sufficiently light for people to see where they were going. To stop them running into anything. Yes. I don't know, quite honestly. About lights is something that never occurred to me, whether we had lights or not. I can't see there was any need really to have lights in an open desert.
The path, the column would be going through a pretty narrow path though, wouldn't
yes.
it?
Yes, oh yes, it was. It was going, because. There's a lot of dummy minefields and things were laid round, all round Gazala, you know. And I think we were channeled through a dummy minefield. And then when we got out of that, it was on a compass bearing. I can't remember the compass bearing, but instead of going due that way, we did a jink. And that is when we ran into the enemy mine and blew us up. And that's when it had to be cleared. And then the troops then were able to go through. They're on wheels, of course, in a column, all the time.
Was the enemy alert by now? What was happening around you?
Oh, just a lot of noise, that's all, but and indiscriminate gunfire, but it was not aimed at anybody that I found out. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been allowed to get out. That was, otherwise, as I say, we wouldn't never have been allowed to get out. Obviously, there's a mine that was set off, and we then was enable the engineers to clear the whole way. Then they go right through, and we go on compass bearings. I was on a compass bearing when I, of course, when I went up on the mine, but somebody else took over. Wedgwood, I think it was. Took over and was able to continue on the compass bearing. It's all a bit hazy.
You said that you came to on the ambulance, obviously on its way back to safety. What happened to you then?
I got taken to. Oh no, his name's there. And
you were sent to hospital, were you?
Yes, by boat. Yes. Well, I remember we were on a boat.
What were you suffering from?
This was the first battalion.
What were you suffering from?
What was the one?
What were you suffering from?
Well, I'd been blown up. That's about all you can say. I was all through my hand here. Wounds, not of any great extent, but this is where I caught it here.
The back of the hand.
Or through the hand, yes. And of course, the shock of being blown up, I was unconscious when I went up, or after I went up. Came to on the CO's wagon, really. Not CO, the MO's wagon. And then got drafted it and sent by motor to
the base hospital, was it?
Yes, it was base hospital, yes. Was.
Were you there long?
No, I wasn't. No. About a week at the most. Because there were a lot of people were far more seriously wounded than I was. And especially the armoured boys would take the nasty hammering, the tank boys, and the sooner they could get me out, the better. And of course, the sooner I got out, the sooner I can get back to rejoin the battalion. Which I did. But there have been some battles gone on while I was away. This is where Sammy Battlescombe went in the bag. And Ian Pitt. I don't know, really, my memory is very bad at this occasion. This juncture, I don't know why.
So you rejoined the.
But you told me, you said just now that we were doing something with, what did you say, aeroplane, where you were?
Whilst getting drafts and training, weren't you protecting airfields?
Yes, that's what I think. That's it. That's what we were. Well, that's what I was, yes.
Did you rejoin the battalion still as IO, intelligence officer?
No, I went. Now, this is it. While this was going on, Sammy Battiscombe sent me away on a course. That's right. Clearing me up now. So I didn't see them again. I didn't see Sammy again, but he sent me off on a course. An adjutant's course. So I went to where's the Jewish place?
Haifa?
Yeah,